Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the Q&A session, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one on your phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Dee Stonker. You may begin.
Good morning, good afternoon to all of you. Very welcome to the ABN AMRO call. Before I head over to Gerrit Zalm, one remark. We've had a little bit of a technical problem with the fact sheet that we normally publish on our website. And it will be published later today, so don't worry. With that remark, I'll hand over to Gerrit Zalm.
Okay, thank you. We had a very good last quarter, and that also leads to good results for the year as a whole. Our underlying net result is 1.5 billion, and that's roughly double last year's result. As you know, we correct our reported figures for last year for the Greek loans and for metals, and this year we make a correction for the SNS Real levy and for the switch of the Dutch pension scheme to a defined contribution scheme. So the comparison for the underlying figures gives a better indication of what's happening than the reported figures. We have a strong capital position, so we can propose to pay out a total dividend of 400 million. And we already paid an interim dividend of 125 million. So the Minister of Finance can expect another 75 million for dividend. If you look at the targets we have set for 2017, I think last year shows good progress into that direction. For the cost-income ratio, we had a target of between 56 and 60 for 2017. Last year we ended at 60%, and that is an improvement from the 64% we had in 2013. So I think we are on track as far as the cost-income ratio is concerned. If you look at the return on equity, that improved also. In 2013, we had a return on equity for the underlying profit of 5.5%. This year, we are almost at 11, 10.9 to be precise. So we are already inside our target range, which we had set at 9 to 12%. So also in this respect, we are, I think, on track. And if you look at our Core 1 equity target, we set the target for 2017 of 11.5% to 12.5%. We already surpassed that. We are now at 14.1, fully loaded. So that creates some room for possible changes also in regulations. As you know, there's a lot of discussion going on, not only on TLAC and MREL, but also risk rating of mortgages. So having a bit of a cushion on in our capital ratio is comfortable also in respect of possible new regulation. If we look at leverage ratio, according to the latest definition, we are fully loaded now at 3.7. So we expect we can meet the target the Minister of Finance has set in the Netherlands of 4%. In 2018, we can meet that target before the set year, is our expectation. All in all, we are pleased with the results. We have seen an increase in revenues of 8%, and cost management led to a far smaller cost increase, 2%, and also the fact that the Dutch economy is out of recession is paying off in lower impairments, and the combination is very fruitful. Now Kees will take the floor to give some more color on the financial results of the fourth quarter.
Thank you very much, Gerrit, and good morning, good afternoon. As usual for this call, we used a short presentation published on our website this morning, and the full version of this presentation will, as you know, always be published later today. Well, as Gerrit already mentioned, we are quite pleased with the results of the fourth quarter, 400 million. Q4 benefited especially from strong income improvements and a substantial decline in loan impairments. If we take slide 7, you see the results, an overview of the results, and more the specifics on slide 8. Net interest income benefited on slide 8 from continued improvement in lending margins, and this is observed actually across all the business lines. NII rose by 17% versus Q4 of 2013 and 6% compared to Q3. Margins for new mortgages as well as marginal mortgage resets continue to outpace the average margin of the mortgage book. And although at a slower pace, we expect this effect to continue in 2015. Also, savings margins improved somewhat. In Q4, mortgage production increased, and thanks to competitive pricing, we have been able to grow our market share from a bit below 18 to 20% in 2014 and become number 2 in the Dutch market. In January of this year, we had a market share of 21%. Our clients continue to make high extra repayments on the other hand. Especially in December, the extra repayments were historically high. This closely relates to popular and favorable tax exemptions that ceased on the 31st of December last year. Net effect of the new production and the high redemptions resulted on balance in a net decline of the mortgage book of around 1.5%. Within commercial loans, we still observe low numbers of credit applications for particularly SME loans. In Q4, the number of SME credit applications, however, was for the first time flat compared to Q3. And even more positively, the number of approved applications is rising now already for SME loans for 3 quarters. Loan book for international clients continue to grow, driven by ECT. Clients continue to entrust more savings to us. Deposit volumes rose across almost all businesses versus Q4 of last year. And if we go to slide 9, fee and other income. Fee income was almost 4% higher than the fourth quarter of last year. The switch in fee models in retail and private banking away from so-called retrocession fees has had no material impact on our fees. With respect to other operating income, which is less dominant in our revenue mix, as you know, it showed an increase compared to last year as we sold a portion of our stake in the Holland Clearinghouse. Moving to slide 10, expenses. In the first 9 months of 2014, expense levels were almost flat. In Q4, expenses are typically up, also for this time. Firstly, from the annual charge of the Dutch bank tax, 91 million, and secondly, as announced in the previous quarter, a 60 million restructuring charge in connection with the accelerated digitization of key customer processes in retail banking. Q4 cost income ratio was 65%. Had the Dutch bank tax evenly been accrued over quarters, cost income would have been 62. Excluding restructuring charge of 60 million would even be 59, which would be inside our 2017 target range. Personal expenses, excluding retail researching charge, were flat. Then impairments, slide 11. On slide 11, we see that since the beginning of 2014, the trend line in loan impairments is clearly declining. In fact, impairments dropped in Q4 to the lowest level in the past 3 years. The chart on the right-hand side shows impairments details by products. Mortgage impairments, for instance, this quarter declined to only 20 million, which equals 5 bips over outstanding loans in the fourth quarter. Impairments on commercial loans declined significantly compared to last year and also compared to Q3. Within corporate banking, Q4 impairments declined both for commercial and international client segments. The decrease in impairments was not visible across all industry sectors, as some sectors seem to struggle to adapt to structural changes. Q4 commercial loan impairments were mostly recorded in industry sectors, industrial goods and services, and the non-food retail. And if we look at the results by segment, slide 12, then we see a good performance again for retail banking in Q4, driven by higher NII from mortgages and client deposits, supported by lower impairments on mortgages, partly offset by the 60 million restructuring charge. The result of private banking declined in Q4, mainly from cost increases and a 25 million goodwill impairment. The client impairments was not enough to compensate. Assets under management volumes reached a new high in 2014 and benefited from the inflow of net new assets, market performance, and the acquisition in Germany. Corporate banking improved in several areas. Operating income showed a healthy increase. And for 2 out of 3 business segments, international clients and CMS, revenues grew harder than the expense increase. Results in corporate banking further benefited from plummeting impairment levels. Group functions recorded significant improvements in its results, supported by enhanced cost allocation to the business segments for IT project cost and cost of maintaining, for instance, liquidity buffer. And this actually means that improvements in retail banking and corporate banking, as we discussed, are even more impressive, taking into account these extra indirect costs they got from this enhanced allocation. Then I would like to hand over to Pieter van Mierlo, who replaces Wietse Rehorn today. Thank you very much.
Good morning, good afternoon. Pieter van Mierlo speaking. Thank you, Kees. The economic climate continues to have a positive effect on the results of the fourth quarter. As mentioned by Kees, impairment levels further declined to the lowest level recorded in the last 3 years. The improvements in the Dutch housing market are reflected in our mortgage book. In this loan book, impairments declined to almost pre-crisis levels. More on that matter in a minute. I would like to invite you to slide 13, the risk ratios. The impaired ratio has started to show slight improvements across all products. In absolute terms, the level of impaired customer loans declined by 0.4 billion compared to the third quarter. The coverage ratios remain adequate. Then we move on to slide 14. On mortgages, slide 14 clearly shows the improving trend observed in Dutch housing and mortgages. As mentioned before, the Dutch housing market improved over 2014. The number of houses sold was up with 39%, while house prices increased by 1%. The trend in volume continued in January 2015. This January recorded 6% more transactions than January last year. Past due and impaired mortgages exposures trend down. It has been a while that we saw these ratios decline. The impairments came to 5 bips this quarter, which is the lowest recorded in the last 15 quarters. The full year mortgage impairments were 13 bips. The impairments fell sharply compared to the levels of 24 bips in 2013 and 16 bips in 2012. The decline is mainly the result of smaller impaired mortgage portfolio, which in this its turn is the result of fewer clients getting into financial difficulties, so lower inflow in the impaired portfolio, as well as more clients have been able to overcome their financial difficulties, so higher outflow from the impaired portfolio. The average loan-to-market value of the portfolio was 83%. This was down from 84% in the third quarter, year-end 2013. The average loan-to-market value, excluding NHG-guaranteed mortgages, is somewhat better, 79%. The mortgage book consists of around a quarter of NHG-guaranteed mortgages, and approximately half of the NHG mortgages have a loan-to-market value above 100%. Also, the portion of mortgage loans with loan-to-values above 100% steadily declined since year-end 2013 by approximately 5.3 billion. This was driven by scheduled redemptions and extra repayments in the loan-to-value category above 110%, and, secondly, higher market values that positively influenced the loan-to-value markets. There was no new inflow in the highest loan-to-market values categories, as new prediction had loan-to-values between 90 and 104%. Then we come to slide number 15, effect of new mortgage rules. What trends do we see since the government changed the tax rules for mortgages in the Netherlands? The new rules apply as of January 2013, and the breakdown of the portfolio is starting to reflect the impact thereof. Mortgages with redemption features, annuity and linear, account for a growing portion of new production. Compared to 2012, new production in these mortgages grew from 9% to 46% of the total new production. Redeeming mortgages also gained weight in the total mortgage book. Compared to year-end 2012, the share in total mortgage book grew from 2% over to 8% in just 2 years. We expect this trend to continue, which means that with time, the other mortgage types gradually are replaced by redeeming mortgages and de-risk the mortgage book. Thanks for your attention, and now I hand over to our CEO.
Okay, thank you, Pieter. Let me close with a few remarks. Of course, you can imagine that we are pleased with the fourth quarter results. The underlying result for the year as a whole of over $1.5 billion is the best we have recorded so far. As it is the first year that the Dutch economy is out of recession after 2 years of shrinking economy, we are happy with this result, and we are well on track, in our view, to meet our strategic ambitions and targets for 2017. If you look at 2015, we are always very hesitant in making forecasts for a current year. But there are two or three things we can take for certain. The first thing we can take for certain is that we will get new levies. There will be a levy for the deposit guarantee scheme. There will be a new levy for the European Resolution Fund. Together, this will take over 150 million is our estimate. And the second thing we can be certain of is that we'll have higher pension costs. Because of the low interest rate environment, our pension premiums will go up, and that will be around about 100 million. So we are already certain that we get an increase of out of these causes of 5% of our cost base this year. So that is a more difficult part of the environment we are operating in 2015. On the other hand, we expect the Dutch economy to recover further, and that will certainly have a positive effect, especially on impairments, which we expect to decline further in this year. Thank you very much. Maybe one remark on the IPO. Everybody is interested in this subject. We expect the Minister of Finance to write a letter to Parliament in the coming weeks. And so we cannot say much more about it than that. We are, of course, also curious about the exact content of that letter. But let's wait for that before we discuss this matter further. Thank you. And now I ask the operator to open the call for questions.
The phone lines are now open for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star 2. Thank you. The first question in the queue is from Cor. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, Cor Kluis of Rabobank. I've got a few questions. First of all, concerning the credit risk-weighted assets, which you continue to improve and to bring down. On page 80 of the press release, you mention a large category other, where you say that the risk-weighted assets come down by 2.3 billion. You explain the model changes, you explain the volume, which was lower. But what is 2.3 billion euros? That's my first question. My second question is on the net interest income, which was for the total group, of course, quite strong this quarter. We saw especially also in commercial clients that the net interest income went up quite materially from 360 million to 345 million. You mentioned there were not much volume increase, so it was pricing. Could you explain why in commercial clients in such one quarter the net interest income can rise so materially? And my last question is about oil and energy exposure, considering what's happening with the oil prices and that you have an ECT business, which I think is not too large in total of the group, but can you give your view on sensitivity or stress testing or scenarios that you went through and possible effects on your business volume-wise and impairment-wise? That were my questions.
Peter here. The first one concerning the RWA, our exposure amounts. This has to do with several aspects. First of all, we have a new model for oil and gas, so this portfolio is moved from standardized to advanced. Further on, we had several model changes, and we made some reviews on models, and therefore the RWAs declined
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, with respect to the NII question, Cor, you have on commercial clients. I mean, that's an 8% this was on page. Let me see.
Net interest income.
Yeah, net interest income. So it was an increase of 9%. Well, as mentioned, it is the margin improvements we have on loans and deposits during that period. I think there's no specific reason there for this increase. It is
repricing.
It's repricing, of course, but there's no specific thing in the fourth quarter happened there, so it's can try to find out a bit more on this, but there's no specific reason for it. So it's lending volumes. It's not, though those were more or less flat, a bit down even on commercial clients, but it's the margin on loans and deposits, and as you have seen, the improvement also in almost all the other areas. I mean, retail banking has an NII increase of 10, private of 12. So it's not a specific one. Although of course the it's a bit lower actually than the average because of the decline in the book. I mean, the international client book increased and the book of retail decreased also a bit. But as I said, it's margins a bit below the average increase, because the average increase was, of course, much higher for the whole bank. Yeah? We had a 17% net interest increase for the whole bank. So it's half of the bank result, and that is because volumes were down.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe oil and gas, Peter?
The energy prices. There was a question on
the effects on our ESG business.
Yeah.
We don't expect much impact on the oil and gas business. Perhaps we have some decline due to lower working capital requirement from our clients. But of course, the bank doesn't take any positions, as well as our clients don't take any positions. All the positions clients have are hedged. So we don't expect this will impact our oil and gas portfolio. And of course, in the last couple of weeks, we made a stress test related to the current oil price. And as we stressed for the next 2 years, we don't see any problems for the next 2 years when the oil price would stabilize at the current level.
Okay, very good.
Question for you?
Yeah.
The next question is from Benoit. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Benoit Petrac from Kepler Cheuvreux. I've got a couple of questions as well. Maybe the first one will be on the kind of underlying profitability of the bank. If I start in, you know, with Q4, the pre-tax of, say, 570, you know, add back the bank tax, the restructuring charge of 60 million, the AQR adjustment, and take out some negative, some positive one of you had in the market, I come to kind of 740 million pre-tax in Q4. Now, you just mentioned that you will get in total 250 million of regulatory cost plus 100 on the pension. So I come to kind of 2.6 billion of pre-tax earnings for the bank. Do you think it's a kind of good run rate for the future, or do you see this type of estimate, please? Then the next one will be on come back on the net interest margin, because on the commercial clients, indeed we see a sharp increase. I think you have a net interest margin of 360 bps on the loan book in the commercial clients. I was wondering if it's sustainable at this stage of the cycle. I will actually expect now margin to compress a little bit. So how do you see your book in the Netherlands? Do you see still margin expansion really, or do you think you'll get into a tougher times going forward? And then linked to that as well, I mean, loan growth you know, do you see any pickup of loan growth in the Netherlands? I mean, you mentioned the economy, which is picking up. I will be especially interested in the SME and corporate segment, which has been pretty weak, actually, since 2009. Do you see any pickup recently? And then another question will be on risk-weighted assets. Sorry to come back on that, but indeed, we do see a continuous trend, which is going into lower risk-weighted assets, which is positive for Common Equity Tier 1, obviously. How do you feel on risk-weighted assets, inflation, maybe flow, or what is your discussion with your regulator? I mean, you have been approving new models, so it seems to be relaxed on lower risk-weighted assets, but it seems that ECB is pushing for higher risk-weighted assets and actually in-depth review on the model. So can we expect probably more positive, more negative risk-weighted asset inflation going forward? Thank you.
Okay. Let me start by your beautiful extrapolation of our fourth quarter to a whole year. Personally, I think that extrapolating one quarter is a bit risky. So I'd rather look at the year as a whole. I mentioned we have a few cost increases of substance this year, so we'll need extra income growth and lower impairments to get a result which is improving compared to this year. Margins, we expect that especially in the commercial clients segment, they are still able to do some repricing. In the segment of retail and private banking, it will be very much dependent on the competitive developments. The new entrants on the mortgage market. Pension funds, insurance companies, but also non-Dutch banks are entering the market. So this is something which is more difficult to forecast. So as far as margins is concerned, I wouldn't do a very solid statement because it's very much dependent on the competitive landscape. As far as loan growth is concerned in the Netherlands, in the last quarter, we saw a stabilization of our loan book and an increase of demand for loans. So we think we have made the turning point in the fourth quarter and hope for growth of our loan book again in commercial clients this year, which would fit well with the expected further recovery of the Dutch economy. Maybe on RWA inflation or deflation?
Yeah, of course, we have to take notice of possible changes in the future. This is going to take another two, perhaps 3 years before the new floors are going to be established, if they are. And of course, we have made our internal study on this. What would be the impact? But currently, we are heading for even lower RWAs. Due to still moving small portfolios to advanced, so for the near future we don't see higher RWAs. But of course, as I said, we took notice of the discussion concerning floors, which might become applicable for example, mortgages.
Is that fair to assume that you will actually run the bank at a maybe slightly higher Common Equity Tier 1 ratio than your own target because of this risk on the risk-weighted assets? I mean, we see Connex Bank running at 15-17%, but they have a low risk weight on mortgages. Can we assume that?
You're quite right. We are not panicking because our Core 1 ratio is above our target, just because of the uncertainty in the regulatory regime. We think it's nice to have a cushion for that, and this regulatory developments are not easy to predict. So having some cushion on top of our target is, I think, wise.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Matthias. Your line is now open.
Yes, thanks for taking my questions. Matthias from KBC Securities. First one is on operating expenses. Could you provide some indication of the like-for-like change in the fourth quarter, excluding the one-offs like the restructuring provision and also the impact of the consolidation of the German private banking activities? And looking to 2015, you mentioned that you expect 150 or even 250 million increase of the cost base. Will any of this increase be offset by savings linked to your restructuring programs or efficiency gains you're targeting? And then a second question is on the loan loss provisions on the outlook. You mentioned that you're witnessing a pickup in the Netherlands. And that this could lead to a further decline in loan impairments going forward. I guess this refers to the 2014 level, or are you anticipating a further drop from the Q4 level, which was already quite low? So how should we think about impairments? What's sort of a good normalized level for 15 you could expect? Thank you.
Starting with the last point, I think also here we should not look at individual quarters if you want to have an opinion about 215. We think that the 215 level will be below the 214 level, but we don't use the last quarter as the holy grail. As far as the...
Yeah, with respect, I do not have the figure at hand here for Credit Suisse, the amount, but the most important one is, of course, the 60 million you mentioned restructuring provision for retail. So if you look at Q4 2013, Q4 2014, operating expenses are up by 81 million, and out of that you see around 60 million restructuring, so that that's the most important effect here, and then we had some others like goodwill impairment and the integration costs. I think they I don't know the exact figure, but I think they might be a couple of 10 million. So that actually is the reason for the increase.
Okay. And for 2015?
For 15, we keep to our strict cost containment. There will be some efficiency gains in the organization, especially in retail. At the same time, there will be the need to create extra capacity for other business lines like energy commodities and transportation, which is an expanding part of our business. So it will be quite a challenge to incorporate these 5% cost base rise because of the new charges. They will not be fully compensated by cost reductions.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, then I, on behalf of the board, I thank everybody for their interest and hope to speak to you next time.
Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.